1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 26. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Father, we thank you for your word. Our desire is to know the teaching of Scripture, that we might obey it and walk in it. We pray that you would tonight, by your Spirit, who has written these words, teach us the meaning of them, that we might please you in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Understanding our differences. Some time back in prayer meeting, I spoke on this portion of Scripture, but at that particular time, we emphasized mainly the ministry gifts, the different talents or abilities that God gives to His people. Tonight, I'd like to have us look at it more from the aspect of motivational gifts, not so much the abilities or the talents, but from the standpoint of the ways in which we think. And so this will be a different emphasis. We see here that God tells us that the body of Christ is made up of different members, and Paul mentions the ear and the eye and the foot and the hand. And so we see not only the fact that there are different abilities, but even different ways of looking at things. If we see different perspectives, different ways of thinking amongst the members of the body of Christ. When we were in South America, one of the first things we came up against was we would try to anticipate what somebody was going to do, and we would guess it wrong. And we'd suffer a little bit of frustration, and we'd say, now, why do they do it that way? We found out that they think differently. And that's one of the important reasons for having to learn language. When you're in a foreign country, it's not only a matter of learning the language, it's learning also the way they think. And many times we realized that as we got down there, we didn't know Spanish when we went, and we weren't able to communicate with the people. And after about a year, we came to the conclusion that we were better off that first year not being able to communicate, because we were spared saying a lot of things that we shouldn't have said. After a year, when we finally had the language, we also began to understand a little bit the reason why they did things. And as a result, we were able to follow their thought patterns. And because if you have different rules, you come up with different conclusions. For example, 2 plus 2 might be 4, but if you look at it a different way, 2 plus 2 are 22. And so it's all the way you look at it, different ways of thinking. And languages sometimes are different ways of thinking. And in the church, God has not only given different talents and abilities, but also, I believe, He's given different ways of thinking. Now, we're not talking about right ways and wrong ways, or scripture ways and unscripture ways. We're talking about right ways, but that are different ways. And that's one of the things we had to learn in South America. There were things that they did differently, but were not wrong. In fact, after a few years, we started doing that way too. We found out that they were better. And so there's a difference between right and wrong, and differing ways of doing what is right. And so in the church, I believe that God has given different members of the body, in that there are different ways then of looking at things. When I say differing ways, that's within the right ways and not wrong ways. For example, some people use the spiritual gifts as an excuse. And they say, well, I react that way because of my spiritual gift. Well, if the way you reacted is a right way, that's fine. If it's a wrong way, then it's wrong no matter what your spiritual gift is. I don't care what your gift is. It is, Scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And if I'm not poor in spirit, but proud, then I'm wrong no matter what my gift is. Blessed are the meek. And I don't care if you are a prophet. If you're not meek, you're a sinner. You're sinning when you're not meek. You know, Moses was a prophet. Moses started out as an ornery prophet, killing the Egyptian. But Moses ended up as the most meek man on the face of the earth. And so just because you're a prophet doesn't mean you have to cut off heads. Because Moses exemplified meekness. And until Moses became meek, he was a sinning prophet. And if he used his fact that God had called him to be a prophet to chop off people's heads and to bury Egyptians, then he was in sin. And so that's not a matter of gift, that's a matter of sin. Blessed are the merciful. It isn't just those who have the gift of mercy that have to be merciful. Those who have the gift of mercy see things from a different standpoint. But we all better be merciful or we're not going to be blessed. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. I don't care what your gift is, if you're not pure in heart, you're going to misuse your gift. And blessed are the peacemakers. There is no gift that God's going to give you that's going to make you a warmonger. Now, I'm talking about in the church. I'm not talking about international affairs in the church. Blessed are the peacemakers. No matter what your spiritual gift might be, whether speaking of the motivational gift or the ministry gift or whatever it is, if you're not a peacemaker, you're not being scriptural. And so when we talk about gifts, we are not talking about excuses for sin. We're talking about seeing things in the ways in which God has made us to see them. Now, there is a need for differences. For example, we have differences in our physical senses. God has given us five senses. And the purpose for that is to enable us to have a more complete evaluation of the situations round about us. And so we see, hear, smell, taste, touch. Now, after you've seen something and smelled it and tasted it and touched it and heard it, if there's something to hear, maybe rattle it, you have a pretty good idea what that thing is like. And so those senses are important. And if you're robbed of one of your senses, you are definitely limited. If you do not have the sense of sight, if you do not have the sense of hearing or smelling, you are going to be limited in how you're able to appreciate a certain situation. And so God has given us those five senses, and each one contributes a little bit. I walk in the house and I smell a smell, and I say, steak. Now, I didn't see the steak, but I knew ahead of time I could smell it. And so if I didn't have that sense, maybe later on after I got into the kitchen, I could look and I could see it. Then I could see that it was steak. But my sense of smell helped me before I even saw it. And then my sense of sight confirmed it. My sense of taste really confirmed it. You see how all these things add together. Now, the same thing is true then in the spiritual realm. There are spiritual senses. For example, let's look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. We'll be looking at a few scriptures here tonight that I'd like to have you look at and see the relationship between these scriptures. Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now notice there are seven horns, and typically in Scripture horns speak of strength, perfect strength. There are also seven eyes. Here's talking about the Lamb. Perfect vision. Seven eyes. And then it says that these seven eyes are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And so the seven eyes are referred to as the seven spirits of God. Now, you and I have two eyes. And for a very important reason. If we didn't have two eyes, if we only had one, we'd have no depth of field. We'd have no depth of vision. For example, if you look at a photograph, it's all on one plane. Now, because you experience depth of vision, you can look at that photograph and you can imagine that the house is way behind the individual. But I don't know how many of you have seen these little apparatuses that have two pictures. And you hold it up to your eyes, and all of a sudden you've got stereo. And those two pictures that are both flat, one plane, become stereo, and they have like depth to them. And you say, isn't that beautiful? And you look through that little thing, and you say, what a beautiful picture. Well, what is it? It's two pictures. And because you're seeing it then from two different viewpoints, it gives it depth. And so you see things accurately. You can tell that a vehicle is a certain distance away because you have two eyes, depth of vision. And so this is important. Now imagine the kind, well, we have in sound, for example, we have stereo, two sounds coming from different directions. And if we imagine the beauty of the sound, if you were sitting in a room and you had sound from seven directions, where was this? Was it in California, I believe? We were in a place that had a round building. We went into the round building, and all the way around, they had projectors. So that as you got into the room and they turned on the projectors, everywhere you looked around you, there was the part of this film going. They must have taken it with seven different projectors. And what they did is they had these taken from a bus going up and down the streets of San Francisco. And the streets of San Francisco are up and down and around and narrow and twisty, and this driver, whoever was driving this vehicle, this bus, really knew how to drive, and he had it wide open going up and down around these curves of these streets. And with these cameras, you could look around. It was just like you were sitting right in that bus. You'd look ahead and shoo, you were going down the hill. You look back and there's the hill that you came from. You look over here and there are the houses zipping by on one side and the houses on the other side. You just look around and it was just like sitting in that bus. And that's what you call having seven eyes. You saw everything just as if you were right on that bus. And so here we have the description of the Lamb with seven eyes. And these are the seven spirits of God. And so this would be perfect spiritual vision by means of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now this is not only in material issues, but also in spiritual. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Now the word gifts there, you notice, is in italics, and so it isn't there. Now concerning spiritual things. So he's applying the same thing that we understand so clearly in the physical realm. He's applying that to the spiritual realm. And so this is regarding spiritual things. And in verse 4, he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, one Spirit gives all the gifts. And so it's like sitting on that bus. You have seven different cameras or directions in which you're looking, but it's all one picture. And in verses 7 through 10, we have the manifestation gifts, but the manifestation of the Spirit. And so in 7 to 10, we have the results of our ministry in the lives of others. Then in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, we have their reference to the ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, and so forth. And they're the ministry gifts, how we minister, the talents that God gives us for ministering. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we have the ministry gifts also. Then in Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8, we have the motivational gifts. If you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8. And these are the motivational gifts. These are the things that motivate us. These are what we might call the discernment gifts. This is how we look at things. Very different. The manifestation gifts are what God does with our ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are talents that God has given us to minister with. But motivational gifts are the ways that we look at things. Romans 12, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, or serving, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, researching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we have seven motivational gifts there mentioned in Romans chapter 12. Seven ways of looking at things. Seven areas of discernment that are given by the Spirit of God, in the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Seven different gifts then, and this can be looked at from the standpoint of the seven aspects of the ministry of the Spirit of God, the seven eyes of the Lamb. Why you see things in a way that is different than the way I see things. Now, if we only had one eye, we would have very limited vision. But with seven eyes, we have perfect vision. We have beautiful perspective. And so, since the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth, then God has given seven ways of looking at things, and he has given Christians, each Christian, one way of looking at things, so that together we will see accurately the things that God wants to show us. And the church, being the pillar and ground of the truth, is then preserved from error because we see things from all of the proper perspectives. And so this would be the need for our differences. We need these differences so that we have fullness of vision and see things properly. Secondly, we'd like to look at the nature of our differences. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8, we have then seven areas of motivation, seven different ways of looking at things. And now, if you want to divide the gifts up some other way, that's fine. But the thing I want you to really consider is the importance of the differences that there are amongst us as Christians if we are going to have a complete body and if we are going to be able to function as God wants us to function. And so we read then in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So there's the comparison again. The members of our body do not have the same function. They have differing functions. And our body perceives in a different way. We perceive some things by feeling, other things by seeing, other things by hearing. And we perceive differently according to the member of our body that is being used to perceive that. And Paul says it's the same thing then with the body of Christ. Everyone members one of another, and we don't all have the same office. And the word office there actually could be translated deeds. It's used in Romans 8:13. Mortify therefore the doings of the body. And so every member doesn't have the same doings. Every member has a distinct purpose. And these purposes all added together make up the uniqueness of the body and the proper functioning of the body, each one fulfilling its own different ministry, its ministry of perception, here in this aspect then of the motivational gifts. And so there are the differing gifts in order to be able then for the body to function properly, to be able to discern the truth of the Spirit of God. Now, let's compare this then with another portion of Scripture. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, let's read the verses 1 to 4, the first part of verse 4. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, referring here to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge. Now, notice here we have another reference to the Lord Jesus. We have another reference to the Spirit of God. We have here a breaking down of the different aspects of the work of the Spirit of God. And the result of this, we find then in verse 3, that it will make him of quick understanding. And as a result, he won't have to judge according to the sight of his eyes, but he will judge righteous judgment. So here we see the ministry of the sevenfold Spirit of God with the Lord Jesus giving perfection of judgment, perfection of evaluation, perfection of discernment because of the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of God. And so this then is the multiple ministry of the Spirit of God in the Lord Jesus. Once again, Revelation chapter 5 referring to the seven eyes. Now this then, Paul says, referring to the gifts in Romans 12, is also given to the church. Continues on in the church, which is his body. The result being the understanding of the fear of the Lord, the understanding of the ways of God. And it says it will make him of quick understanding, and the idea there is to breathe the breath of understanding. The very atmosphere in which he lives will be a comprehension of the ways of God as a result of the ministry of the Spirit of God. And so so also the church breathes the life of God through the ministry of the Spirit of God. And the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of God then is what is provided for the church as the pillar and ground of the truth, so that the church will see things properly. The sevenfold ministry then of the Spirit of God in the church. Now, I'm sure most of us realize that in the Old Testament, here we have the sevenfold candlestick of the Old Testament, and this was placed in the holy place, and the lamps were lit, and it gave forth light. Seven branches to this candlestick. Now, we have here then in Isaiah chapter 11 the reference to the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit. Now, first of all, notice that it is the Spirit of the Lord, and that would be the main channel of this candlestick, of this lampstand. The main channel of it is this, is that it is the Spirit of the Lord. And He is the center lamp on this seven-branch lampstand, the Spirit of the Lord. And then from that are three pairs of lamps on each side. The Spirit of the Lord would refer to the Holy Spirit. And as you know, and especially in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. And so He is the center of this. And on each side we have then three pairs. As Isaiah says in verse 2, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so we have here then seven different aspects of the Spirit of God. Now, I'd like to have us look at these aspects very closely. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord as the Comforter. The word Comforter, another translation, is Exhorter. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the Exhorter. He comforts from the standpoint that He gives us the proper exhortation, whether it's the exhortation of comfort or of rebuke. But even if rebuke, it's comforting because we know His motive in doing this. And so He is the Comforter, and this would refer to, relate to the gift of exhortation. Now, the for the other gifts here, lest you think I made some of these up, let me quote you from Kyle and Dalich, perhaps one of the best-known authorities on the Hebrew Old Testament. And so these definitions for these different terms are taken from Kyle and Dalich, commentary on Isaiah, page 282. And Kyle and Dalich say, now regarding wisdom, wisdom is the power of discerning the nature of things through the appearance. Now, no one discerns the nature, the true nature of things, looking past the appearance of things and getting to the true nature of things, like the person who has the gift of mercy. The person with the gift of mercy can sense right away when something's wrong, even if it looks like everything's all right. They can feel when something's wrong. They sense it. If something is said wrong, even if it's true, but if it's said wrongly, the person with the gift of mercy senses that. If you have something that you want to know if you said it right or not, not if you said it true. Now, if you're talking about truth, that's something else. You know what you said is true, but we're told to speak the truth in love. And if you've spoken the truth, but if you want to know if you've spoken in love, give it to somebody who has the gift of mercy and say, would you read this and tell me, have I said it properly? And they'll tell you. If there's any pride in it, they'll catch it right away. And so this is important, because if I speak the truth, but I speak it in an offensive way, then it's going to offend. Now the problem is, then I might think, oh well, if the truth offends, let the chips fall where they may. If the truth offends, fine. But if I have spoken the truth in pride rather than in love and in offense, then I have done harm to the truth. Then it's not the truth that's offending, it's my pride that's offending. And so that's why that gift is very important. Then Kyle and Dalich tells us that understanding is the power of discerning the differences of things in their appearance. Now here we have certainly the gift of prophecy. It's the prophet who discerns the differences right away. If you want to know if it's true or not, you take it to a prophet. You say, how does this look to you? He says, right on. He senses right away. He discerns the differences. And he can tell you, yes, that's true. And so there's the gift of prophecy. Then next is The next twofold one is counsel and might. And Kyle and Dalis say that counsel is the gift of forming right conclusions. Now, your conclusion is that which is, you know, down the road a ways. And there you have the gift of the organizer. He's the one that sees down the road a ways. And he can chart your course for you because he's got his eye on that destination. And he knows the ultimate goals and he knows how to get there. And he has a this one thing I do directive to arrive at his goals. And he has his eye on that ultimate conclusion. And he has a built-in compass to keep him on course. And that's why one of his weaknesses is that he might tend to become discouraged with those who want to chase every porpoise that happens to run in front of the ship and not keep their eye on the goal. Let's get to where we're going. And he needs to learn patience for the delays in knowing that God has timings as well as destinations in mind. And then the Kyle and Dalis say that might refers to the ability to carry out with energy the right conclusions of the counselor, the organizer. And the server is the one that has the one that keeps working when everybody else is tired. And as soon as they know there's something to do, they have more energy to do it. And they're there to work at it. The next pair is that of knowledge of the Lord and fear of the Lord. And knowledge of the Lord, Kyle and Dalis says, is knowledge founded on the fellowship of love. And we find in Scripture, for example, in Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 to 3, we find that there were several women that were constantly attending to the needs of the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Certain women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Here were women that were giving of their substance to provide for the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting that it's these women that we find in Luke 23, 55, who, of course, were the first ones to think of the fact that the body of the Lord Jesus needed to be, would need some ointments and spices. And so they came in Luke 23:54, these women which came from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And so we see that the first ones to know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus were those who had been during those past years giving of their substance to provide his needs. And so their generous giving for his personal needs brought them to a very special knowledge of the events. And then the knowledge also, or rather the fear of the Lord, and that is a fear absorbed in reverence. And certainly there is no one who has more reverence for the Word of God than the teacher, the researcher, who has more concern for quoting it exactly and having all the facts right. That's why the prophet needs the researcher, because the prophet will have a feeling, that's it, but he won't know why. And he has to go to the researcher, and the researcher will dig it all out for him and tell him why it's right, because he doesn't know why it's right. He can't really explain to you why it's right. He just knows it's right. No, he's not right all the time. Sometimes the researcher will prove that he's wrong. But there is that direction in the gift that he has. And so we need one another. And the researcher decides what he needs to research by what the prophet tells him is right or what's wrong. And then the researcher goes and checks them out. And so these things all refer to ways of discerning the truth of God. And that's why we need one another. We need seven eyes in the church. in order for it to be the pillar and ground of the truth. These gifts, then, are not ways of acting, but rather these gifts are ways of seeing. If these gifts, sometimes people will latch onto these and say, well, the reason I do something such and such a way is because I have such and such a gift. If it's an obnoxious way, it's not due to his gift. It's due to sin. Because gifts do not produce that which is obnoxious. The gifts are of the Spirit of God, and they come with grace. And so don't let anybody spoil spiritual gifts for you by pouring out all of his obnoxious ways upon you. And be very frank and say, sin is sin no matter what kind of a gift you've got. And pride is sin, and arrogance is sin, and selfishness is sin, no matter what kind of gifts a person might claim he has. And so gifts, then, are not ways of acting. Gifts are ways of thinking, ways of seeing, and they're given for the protection of the church, the body of Christ, for the enlightenment of the church, the body of Christ. And so I knew we wouldn't finish this tonight. Next week we will continue, because we still need to talk about the benefits of the use of the gifts and the dangers also of the misuse of the gifts. And so we'll be doing that next week. Praise God that he has given to his church these provisions so that we might know his ways and walk in them. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that as we come to know you as our personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our hearts, and that Christ has given, through the Holy Spirit, gifts to his church. You have given to us, Father, abilities wherewith we might serve you. And you've also given to us special ways of looking at things, so that together we might see the truth of God in all of its proper perspective. And so we pray you'd help us to understand these things, that we might know the truth, and that the truth might set us free, that we might be delivered from unreasonable and ungodly men who would distort the truth, and that together, as we look at the Word of God, we would be able to help one another and see the truth of God in all of its beauty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.